Hi, welcome to Big Fat Positive. On this week's episode, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment called OMG, I'm Freaking Out. And we dive into our BFPs and BFNs for the week. Let's get started. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello.
Hi. Why don't we get started with our weekly check-ins? Laura, where are you at this week?
I am at week 23. And yeah, things are chugging along. So I reported last week about my very disappointing doula meeting. And
yeah.
I'm happy to report that I had a much better doula meeting with someone who was much cooler and a lot less dismissive of my doctor, which was really nice.
That's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, to not be bad-mouthing my doctor at our first meeting. She really knocked it out of the park.
Home run.
But she was very nice. She came to our house and we had a good talk. My problem is that I'm still just on the fence about hiring one. I'm like asking everyone I know who's had a baby. And it's so interesting. People are either like, it's the best money you've ever spent, or people are like, you don't need one. That's what Corey's for.
And the nurses.
That's the real thing for me is the nurses. But what's interesting, I was at a friend's birthday party this weekend and with two people who had just recently had babies. And I asked, oh, did you have doulas? And they both had it. And they're like, you don't need one. Here's what you need to do. And they gave me all this advice. But then it turns out both of them ended up having C-sections. So I was like, well, isn't one of the main reasons you get a doula to try to lower that percentage, that lower that chance? Or at least that's my idea, is that one of the compelling reasons to get one is that it does. There are studies that show that it lowers the rates of C-section. Now, I'm starting to question those studies, though, because I'm wondering if the people who get doulas are less likely to have C-sections in general. You know what I mean? Like, are they...
Just because they have more, just because they're more determined to have...
Yeah, maybe. Like, it's a self-selecting group of people who will push harder or wait longer, you know, that sort of thing. I don't know.
Right.
That was just a thought. But anyway.
Is it rude for me to ask how much a doula costs?
Well, I think the cost varies greatly. But in Los Angeles, they seem to be starting around $1,500.
Oh,
which is a lot of
hard
money.
No.
By the way, the one who was like this, that doula that I just hated last week, she charged $2,600.
What in the what?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how long she's there or anything, and it's probably totally worth it for people, but I'm like, is that shit covered by insurance? No. Bye.
It is not covered by insurance. So that's a big consideration too. So we'll see. I don't know. I'm still on the fence about that. But there's that, which made me feel better because I don't want to say terrible things about the whole profession of doulaing. But so it's nice to have had a good experience with one, whether or not we hire one. That definitely just left a better taste in my mouth.
Good.
And then the other exciting thing is that the baby's kicking a lot suddenly.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. You know, we talked about how you and I both are blessed with anterior placentas.
Which, hashtag blessed.
Hashtag blessed. And that, which we might be saying in the third trimester, because apparently it really does soften the blows of the baby's kicks and punches. But it means that it was taking a little longer for me to really feel the kicks and the movement. And just all of a sudden, it really clicked. I think I really kind of realized what was happening. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's not just a muscle twitch. That's not just gas. You know, that's a baby.
Right.
And Corey got to feel his first kick.
Oh, what was that like?
So anticlimactic.
Oh, man. I wanted this story about this big moment and tears and, okay.
Oh, my God. You've met us, right?
I was like, yeah, this kind of does make more sense.
For those listeners who have not met my husband, he's a very lovely man and he's a great match for me. But he is not like, he's not a big emoter. That's not really even a word. But he is not a person who just expresses all of his emotions very, in a very demonstrative way. But also, it wasn't really a good setup. So I was lying in bed. We were about to fall asleep. He was reading a book. I'm like sitting there feeling. And I was like, oh, you know what? I bet if you put your hand here, you'll be able to feel the baby. And he puts his hand there. And a couple of minutes later, he's like, bump. And he kicked. And Corey, I was like, oh, did you feel that? And he's like, yeah, cool. And then he went back to reading his book.
Man, that's your son in there.
I know. It's fine. I mean, he wasn't like not excited by it, but it was just, it wasn't like a cinematic moment.
I hear you. I can't even get Steve to put his hand on my belly half the time anyway. I think he thinks like it puts him in like some weird position on the couch that's like kind of twisted and uncomfortable. And he sits there for a minute. He's like, well, I haven't felt anything. So I'm just going to like turn back. So yeah, I get it.
Also, I'm super weirded out by the baby movements. Did you have that feeling? Like, was it weird to you at first?
Sometimes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought, you know, everyone's always like, oh, it's the most special feeling in the world. And I wasn't sure if it felt like it doesn't necessarily feel good. I think that maybe I just need to get used to it a little bit. A friend of mine who has recently had a baby, she told me that she had it described to her in a way that was very accurate, and she just passed this along to me, and so now I'm going to pass it along to you. Mm-hmm. She said the analogy her friend had given her was that it felt like a bag of snakes.
Oh my God, how many kids did she have in there?
But I was like, that actually works, like, you know, because there's something, it's not just like very discrete movements, it's like all these like roilings, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So
sometimes, I mean, there's different types of movements. Like some feel like an elbow is just like just scraping along your bladder. Some feel like just a hard, fast jab.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I feel that description 100%.
Okay.
But maybe it's because I have that anterior placenta. I don't know.
Well, but I also have the anterior placenta. Oh, true. But I've never done this before. You have, so.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so that's my week. Decent cool. Doulas, first kicks, and bag of snakes. What have you been up to this week?
So I'm week 27 now. And I think you may recall that I told you I did my gestational diabetes test.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The how'd 1 hour go? Test. I failed.
No.
The doctor called on Monday and said that I failed. And so what that means is now I had to take the 3-hour glucose challenge test, which is a more intense version.
So what does that entail?
Oh, let me tell you what it entailed. Only just like one of the worst days of my last 6 months.
Oh.
It sucks. You have to fast. At least my doctor told me no food after midnight, no water, sips of water if you're really thirsty. I sat in 2 hours worth of Los Angeles traffic to get to my doctor's office. Great. On an empty stomach with no coffee or caffeine. I got to the office and they draw your blood when you first get there. And then you drink this drink called Gluco Crush.
Ooh,
which
Gluco Crush.
Which is kind of like the drink I described last time. It tastes like Otter Pop juice, but it's twice as much sugar.
Holy
it's
shit.
100 grams of sugar.
Did you look up like how many teaspoons that is? That's gotta be a lot.
It's 24 teaspoons and it's equivalent.
Oh my God.
It's equivalent to 5 Snickers bars.
Oh my God. How quickly do you have to drink that?
Within 5 minutes. So I had to basically slam 5 Snickers on an empty stomach.
Oh my God.
In the blood lab.
Great.
Luckily, they had like this big recliner chair that I was allowed to hang out on.
Mm-hmm.
And you wait for 3 hours. And on every hour, they draw your blood again.
Holy shit.
And I guess they just test like your glucose levels at every increment.
They want to see it going down fast enough, right?
Yes, yes. And there was no Wi-Fi in this place.
That is the worst part. No, I'm just kidding.
I did have my phone, my LTE, so I don't even know what I did. Listen to music. I slept for a while because you crash and you feel so tired.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, and I was just like getting a headache and they alternate arms drawing blood, and my right arm is really bad at giving blood. Like, the veins are, like, deep or small. And, like, she had to jab me a couple times and missed. And then she's like, I'm sorry, I've got to go back to the other arm. So my left arm got drawn, like, 3 times. Oh my God. Anyway, by the time I got out of there, I like was on my last 15 minutes, I was online finding a cafe, like, where can I go and get a sandwich? I pre-ordered a sandwich because I was so hungry. And I went and got my sandwich, and as I was eating, I almost passed out. I was like shaking. I got cold sweats, whatever you call them. And I was like, called Steve. I was like, oh my God, I think I'm going to pass out.
Oh no.
And I had to wait a while before I could drive home. And the sandwich was amazing, though.
Tell me more about the sandwich. What kind of sandwich was it?
I got an egg salad sandwich. Ooh. On this like white country bread. Mm-hmm. At this really cute cafe called Clementine.
With like, oh, a I've been to Clementine. On. Clementine is very cute.
It's so cute. It was delicious. And I got an iced tea, so I got some caffeine. It made everything better. So,
did you get the results, or are you still waiting?
I got the results.
Oh, God. I'm so nervous.
I passed.
Oh, thank God.
Thank God. I do not have gestational diabetes. My doctor's so funny. He called and told me the good news, and he's like, eat a cupcake immediately. You're in the clear. Oh. I was like, oh, thank you. Thank you.
Oh, man. Well, at least there's a happy ending.
Yes. So, yeah, that's my week, and I think that's enough to report for this week.
Alrighty then. All right, our next segment is OMG, I'm freaking out, where we talk about the things that are stressing us out about our pregnancies. Shauna, what are you freaking out about this week?
This week, I am freaking out about pregnancy rage.
Pregnancy rage? Oh no. Yes.
That's what I'm freaking out about. Like, I'm hoping, crossing my fingers, it's pregnancy anger related, like all related to hormones, because of course my mind is like, oh my God, like this is the new Shauna, just this angry, frustrated, rage person. So basically I'm just, my schedule's packed to the max. You guys all know I work full time. I take care of a toddler. I'm pregnant.
And you have a lot of shit going on.
I do. And I have two little dogs that I love, but they like bark all the time. And just mm-hmm. like just so many little things are grating on my nerves at all times. And I think it's all heightened by the pregnancy and the hormones. So much so that the other night, I think the first time in my life, I had a dream in which I was punching people in the face.
Wow.
And it felt satisfying, but also not, because in your dreams, sometimes you know how you just like falter and can't do things as good as you want. Yeah. You can't run as fast. So I try to punch this bitch in the face who like is like cheating on my husband's cheating on her. Aww. Cheating on me with her. It's like just crazy dream, but I'm trying to like punch her in the face and it just kind of like grazes her jaw. But I know it's all coming from this, I don't know, hopefully hormonal pool of anger. And I'm not going to just be a mad mom for the rest of my life. So I don't know. I hope. I'm freaking out that I'm not going to be the same ever again.
Well, I will say that I do think your definition of like raging bitch is a lot different than sort of the average person's. are a very nice person who is very even keeled. And I have to say that I have not been the recipient of any of I haven't noticed you being angrier or anything, you know, in our social interactions. So
no, and I mean that's part of it too, is I definitely like to keep that kind of stuff under wraps, especially like around my child and around my husband and at work with coworkers. So a lot of those feelings just kind of stay, you know, bottled up. I kind of sometimes feel like a boiling pot with a lid on top and everything's inside, and then I take it out in my dreams, which is probably a good place to take it out.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, a safe place to take it out. Yeah. But I might ask if there's like some constructive way you could take it out. I mean, I don't think you're going to be joining any boxing classes now, but like,
yeah,
could you journal about it, or I don't know, some crap?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I like writing, that tends to help. Talking about it helps, you know, being able mm-hmm. to wake up and be like, oh my God, Steve, I had like this crazy dream where I was like punching people, and it's just, it's wild, it's wacky. It's also crazy to me because pregnant women are often labeled as like glowing and so mm-hmm. happy and just like this picture of perfection. And sometimes the reality is that you just feel like a raging bitch and you just have to deal with that.
Yeah, you know, I love talking about how pregnancy is not this, you know, single, wonderful, amazing thing for everyone. Everyone has different experiences, and everyone has different experiences within one pregnancy, you know what I mean? Like, it can be wonderful and terrible at the same time. Mm-hmm. So I'm all about embrace your pregnancy rage. Shit. I don't know. Just, you know, not in destructive ways, but let that anger out.
Yeah. I mean, I just want to say I'm not ever going to hurt anyone. No, and my child is not at risk or anything. So it's just feelings inside. And I will say one thing I think might be fueling this is just getting bigger and my body is more uncomfortable. I'm in the third trimester now, 27 weeks. It's sometimes I'm not sure if it's 27, 28, but the doctor, when I saw him at 27, he's like, welcome to the third trimester.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. I was going to ask. I haven't paid attention. It's so funny because I was so intensely focused on when the first trimester was going to end. I knew it to like the hour. Mm-hmm. And now I'm just like, oh, when does the third trimester start? I don't know.
Yeah. So around 27 weeks. So it's just more, everything's more uncomfortable. And
yeah.
So, what about you? What are you freaking out about?
I am freaking out not about pregnancy rage, but about pregnancy brain.
Uh-oh. What's going on?
So I have been in deep denial of the concept of pregnancy brain. I decided that it wasn't a real thing and that it wasn't going to happen to me.
Okay.
And that it was just a thing that people say to excuse, you know, you're distracted. There's a lot of things going on. You're tired, but pregnancy brain, like, I'm not losing brain cells, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, I have been presented with some evidence that I indeed have pregnancy brain. It's making me worry a little bit because, as you know, I rely on my brain quite a bit for my job and my life. My day job as a web developer requires a lot of brain, and forgetting little things are okay, but when you start making big mistakes, it's a problem. And I thankfully haven't had any big mistakes at work yet that I know of, but I was making a quilt for our friend Carrie, who we actually interviewed a couple episodes ago. So I wanted to make her a quilt for the baby. And the way I have my sewing set up, I usually like clear off my kitchen island and I use that. And I have my cutting mats. I have my cutting mats on one side. And then I have this like big flat square pressing board. And it's just like basically a piece of like plywood that I wrapped in batting and then I wrapped in fabric. So it's just a big flat surface you can press your fabric on. But it's covered in fabric, right? And batting. So one thing you really don't want to do is take a rotary cutter and run the rotary cutter over your ironing board. Which is exactly what I did.
Oh, thinking it was the cutting board.
Yes. So normally what you do is you press your fabric on the pressing board, and then you move it to the cutting board, and you take your little rotary cutter, which looks like a pizza cutter, right? And you cut it on the cutting mat, because the cutting mat doesn't get cut. It's a cutting mat. It's designed for that. But I pressed my fabric and then took my rotary cutter and cut directly on top of my pressing board.
Oh, no.
Cutting straight through all the fabric. And I cut a square. So it wasn't even just like one little cut. Like I cut out like the whole center.
So now your ironing board has a big square cut out of the middle.
Well, I got a little ragey too. And I was like, oh, damn it. But I realized I still had all the materials to fix it. So I like tore out all the fabric. You have to like, it's really not that hard to make one. Maybe I'll post a tutorial that I had used to make it. So it's just like a square piece of particle board, and then you take a staple gun and you just like staple the fabric to the back of it, and it makes a nice smooth surface. So I get like pliers and I'm like peeling out all the staples, and I get my new fabric and I bring it out and I like make another pressing board. 10 minutes later, I do the exact same thing again. I was so mad.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, the only thing I can that can explain this is pregnancy brain to me. Because like, I should have known not to cut on it. Because I had already done it and it already took me a half hour to like fix the thing.
Oh no.
Oh, I I was so mad. Luckily, I was home alone. Corey probably would be like, why are you throwing fabric around? But, and, you know, that was the most obvious one that I've run into. But there's little things. And I don't know. I don't want to lose my brain, Shauna. I don't want to lose it.
Yeah. No, I mean, there it's so many hormones and stuff are going on in that brain right now. It's not permanent.
Oh, I hope so. Yeah. I think I posted something about it, pregnancy brain, to my Facebook, and my stepsister was like, newsflash, it doesn't come back when the baby's born. I was like, what?
What?
I think she just likes teasing me.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think you'll be fine. You're not going to live an endless Groundhog Day loop of cutting a square out of your pressing board.
That is a very specific type of hell that would be perfect for me as a punishment.
It really would.
All right. Well, I feel a little better now. Do you feel better?
I feel better.
Good.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
All right. Let's dive into our BFPs and BFNs for the week. Laura, what do you got for us?
All right. So I have a BFN. Mm-hmm. And the BFN is pubic bone pain.
Ooh.
Yeah, which is real sexy.
Yuck. What is that?
So let me preface this by how I got the pubic bone pain. So I have noticed a little
bit. Every time you say pubic bone pain, I just laugh. I'm sorry. I'm such a teenager.
No, it totally is, because it's like, so it shouldn't be weird, right? Because it's just like, right. But it's just in an inconvenient spot. Like,
yeah.
It's not my vag. It's like the bone supporting.
Okay, all right. But so because it's in the like vicinity. Your pelvis?
Yeah, so it's like in the front, you know? Mm-hmm. So what it is it's, you know how your pelvis, your pelvis, your pubic bone, your pelvis, whatever. I mean, I can't keep saying that because you're just going to laugh. So your hips, right? Your hip bones.
Okay, yes.
They're like two parts and they meet in the front, but they don't quite touch in the front. Like they're actually separated by this thing called, don't laugh, the pubic symphysis.
Okay. Is it cartilage or what does that mean?
It's a cartilaginous joint. Okay. So it joins the left and right pubic bones.
Whoa.
And so often in pregnancy, because you have that relaxin, anything that's connective tissue gets relaxed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is it can get like swollen, or your pubic bones can get like misaligned. Mm-hmm. So it can be like twisted, but moved just enough so that it's like causing pain. Some people get really, really terrible pain and they can't walk. Like I was researching it, and all these women were talking about how they, like, you know, midway through the second trimester couldn't walk anymore and how painful it was. And I had just like a little bit of like achy in that area, but nothing serious, until on Thursday this week I was babysitting for a friend. She had like a last minute meeting she just had to take. And so I offered to babysit her 6-month old, who is like ridiculously cute. And aww, it was super fun. She lives on top of this stair street in Los Angeles. There are certain very hilly areas of Los Angeles where you don't have a street in front of your house. You have a staircase. Mm-hmm. And so you have to walk up like 100-something steps to get to her house. Cool. Which I thought was fine. Exercise, right?
Yeah.
So I walk up her steps, babysit, which, you know, a 6-month-old who's already crawling, so you're like up, you're down, you're up, you're down. Bouncing her to get her to take a nap, all that stuff. And then immediately after, I went to an Arcade Fire concert with our friends. And apparently that was too much for a 23-week pregnant person.
Were you standing at the concert?
Well, we had seats, thankfully, but everyone else was standing. So if you wanted to see, you had to stand. So I was taking regular breaks. But you stand up. It's exciting.
Yeah.
You know? So it was a great show, and I felt fine at the show. But, oh man, the next day I could barely walk. It was really bad. And I started panicking because I was like, is this the beginning of the end? Am I going to be one of these women who can't walk? Like, this is terrible. And it was just really awful pain. So thankfully, it seems to be getting a little better, but it's still there. I've ordered some yoga blocks and some like a belt. What do they call those? Like maternity belts that like,
oh yeah, like hoist up
your
belt.
Stomach. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm waiting for those to arrive from Amazon. And once those get here, hopefully those will help because I am not okay with this pain continuing for the next, what, 16 weeks?
Oh my God, pray for me, Shauna. I hope you get relief, please.
Thank you. And you can't take anything.
I was going to say.
I know. So yeah, that's my BFN for the week. What do you got for us?
I have a BFP.
Oh, good.
Yes, which is pumpkin body butter from Trader Joe's.
Ooh.
Which I love because one thing about becoming pregnant and your skin stretching and your tummy stretching is it gets like kind of itchy and stuff. Uh-huh. And there's just something great about putting just the thickest lotion possible on your body. And it's the fall season. And so it smells great and reminds me of autumn and Halloween and all of the good times because it smells like pumpkin. So
is this a seasonal thing they have?
Yes. And if you're savvy, you can stock up on these and then Ooh. Sell them on eBay throughout the year for 3 times their worth, I have found.
Seriously? Online.
I mean, they're worth like $5. So yeah, you could try to sell them for 15 on eBay. But don't do that now. Run out now and get your body butter from Trader Joe's.
Ooh, I was just at Trader Joe's, so yeah. I'm going to have to go back. I actually live right by the original Trader Joe's.
Oh, really?
Yeah, apparently the one in Pasadena on Fair Oaks was the very first one. They have a little plaque outside. So
no way. I always feel
so close to history.
Oh, that's an important part of history, if you ask me.
Well, I mean, what would we do without their delicious prepackaged foods.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I have survived this pregnancy based on Trader Joe's. I really like their curried chicken salad. Delicious.
Oh, yum. Yeah. That does sound good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I like their salted caramel chocolate balls.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm going to have to go back.
All right, guys, that's it for our show. We'd love to know what your biggest Trader Joe's cravings are, or if you don't shop at Trader Joe's, whatever your pregnancy cravings are, or your BFPs or BFNs for the week. Laura, how can people reach out to us?
We're on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BFP Podcast. We also have a website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com, where we will put our show notes so you can find all the things we talked about on today's show.
Thanks for listening, and please be sure to subscribe and rate our podcast. We would appreciate it so much.
Big Fat Positive is produced by Shauna Maiko, Laura Bierick, and Steve Yeager.
See you next time.
Thanks for listening. Oh, man. Well, at least there's a happy ending.
Yes. Can you hold on a second? My dogs are fucking going bonkers. Hold on.
Yeah. Just waiting for Shauna to come back.